I think we have everybody, John.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. This is a meeting of the Utah State Tax Commission. It is 9 o'clock a.m. on Thursday, August 3rd, 2023. This meeting is being held both in person and via Zoom. Participating this morning from the commission are the commission chair, Jonna Valentine, Commissioner Michael Cragen, who is appearing remotely, and Commissioner Freskus, Jennifer Freskus, who is serving as our anchor and is in person today. We're excusing Commissioner Rockwell for other commitments.
Commissioner Rockwell is here.
Oh, good. Thank you. I didn't see that.
Yeah, no, I've been here all along since 8:58.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay, good. Well, we also have Commissioner Rockwell, so we have a full commission this morning. The original minutes of this meeting will be of the original recording of this meeting will be maintained in the office of the commission at 210 North 1950 West, Salt Lake City, Utah. First item of on the agenda today is to identify everybody who is on the call. So I've identified the commissioners, starting with our executive deputy director. If you would just work on through and we'll identify everybody on the call.
Okay, Deanna Herring, deputy executive director.
Jason Garner, Director of Policy Planning and Public Affairs.
Alex Jurosvic, economist.
Brian Fales, Senior Director of Tax and Revenue.
Mike Lee, Senior Director of Customer Services.
Yep, you're on mute, Josh. Joshua Nelson is also on the call, and Kent, you're not getting audio.
Shante asked for executive assistant.
Thank you. Anyone that we have not recognized? We'll move on. Next item on the agenda is the public comment period for individuals or groups wishing to address the commission for up to 3 minutes on matters not related to a pending or recently imminent appeal to the tax commission. Does anyone wish to avail themselves of this opportunity? I hear none. We'll move on to the next item on the agenda. Next item on the agenda is consider approving the commission minutes, meeting minutes of May 11th, 2023. And I recognize Commissioner Freskus for a motion.
Thank you. I move to approve the commission meeting minutes of May 11th, 2023.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Debate on the motion. Hearing none, vote on the motion. Those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
I hear unanimous approval. Minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda is to give public notice of publication revisions. The following publications have been revised. Publication 5, sales tax information for vehicles and watercraft dealers and body and repair shops. Publication 17, waivers, reasonable cause. Publication 25, sales and use tax general information. Publication 42, sales tax information for sales, installation, and repair of tangible personal property attached to real property. Publication 58, Utah interest and penalties. Publication 68, pass-through entity withholding. Many of these publications have been pending for a while. We've had drafts versions of them out, and this are now final versions of the documents and public notice of those documents. Next item on the agenda is our annual training for Open and Public Meetings Act, and I'll recognize Commissioner Cragen to give that presentation.
Thank you. Confirming that you can see my screen.
Yes. I can.
All right, thank you. So each year the statute requires us to receive a refreshment on the Open and Public Meetings Act. And this is our first opportunity since the legislature's general session to be able to do that. So just as a reminder, The Open and Public Meetings Act basically says that when a quorum of a public body is gathered to discuss or act upon a subject over which it has jurisdiction or advisory power, it has to do it in a public meeting for which proper notice, including a reasonably specific agenda, is given and an audio recording is made. After the public meeting, we have to make the audio recording and the minutes available, the pending minutes available for public review. We can close our meeting, but not act upon a set of statutorily specified topics. And there are some public bodies which are required to close meetings for specific purposes, but those do not apply to the State Tax Commission. There was one specific change made in by the legislature in 2023 that applies to the directly to us, and that is Senate Bill 136 has created a requirement that we disclose our closed meeting records to the Office of Legislative Auditor General when requested, and it gives a specific exemption of any disclosures we make to the OLAG from the penalties that are specified in the tax code confidentiality statutes. We had a couple of other changes that are noteworthy. There was a creation of a public notice classification scheme and specified that there were some publication requirements. Through the efforts of our legislative affairs director, he was able to help the legislature understand that it would cost us a lot of money to publish to the entire state every time we had a meeting or did something. And so the legislature exempted us, proposed actions that in fact affect the entire state from being published in newspapers and so forth. Senate Bill 169 moved the definition of text messaging from the criminal code into the Open and Public Meetings Act. Prior, there had just been a reference from OPMA to the criminal code, and then this move was made. And that is a good opportunity for us to remember that in Utah Code 524210, we're allowed to have electronic messages amongst ourselves as a public body, except when we're in a public meeting. When we're in an open meeting, we can't shoot a confidential text message to each other. All of our communication has to be observable and open to the public during the meeting. So no text messaging amongst ourselves when we're in our public meetings.
Can I ask a question on that?
Sure.
What's the interface between that and grandma? Is there an intersection?
Because
we may have created a record if you're texting to between you and I, for example. It may not be subject to the Open Meetings Act, but it may still be discoverable as a grandma record.
That is correct. Any text messages amongst ourselves outside of a public meeting are a public record and may be subject to a grandma request. But the specific part of the Open and Public Meetings Act is we can't be having private conversations via text message while we're in an open meeting.
Okay.
Of our conversations have to be public in public meetings.
While we have an interruption, let me ask another question. In regards to the request by ORLGC on minutes of a closed meeting, many times those meetings are so that we can have attorney-client privilege communication. Do we violate the attorney-client privilege if we respond to those?
I think that if the Office of Legislative Auditor General requests minutes from us, that we need to consult with our counsel if that's the case.
Okay.
I think we can still assert our privilege. We may have to give them a redacted copy.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the interruption. And It is the auditor, not the Legislative Research and General Counsel. I'm sorry.
No worries. Here are the other changes, affect school boards, change some definitions, fixed a spelling error. Most of them were just changes that came about because of other changes in the code. Oh, there is a consideration of a loan application among the reasons for a public meeting that may be closed. And it also required a, actually, I don't think it it did not require the Mountain State Land Authority, which I believe is appointed the Mountain State Land Authority to be able to go into closed session to discuss tenants at the point of the mountain. So that completes my review and refresher on the Open and Public Meetings Act. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there questions of Commissioner Craig? And I appreciate you letting me interrupt the flow of those two questions.
No worries.
I hear no questions, Commissioner.
Thank you.
Thank you again for the report. We'll now go to the next item on the agenda, which is Commissioner's report. Do any commissioners have anything to report to the commission?
I do.
Please.
I just want to report that Utah at the beginning of this week certified that it is in compliance with the streamlined sales and use tax agreements. And we published our rates and boundary changes. We published our certificate of compliance. And at this point, our documentation will go before the CRIC Interpretation Committee of Streamlined, and our compliance will be verified in the next couple of weeks. But I just want everyone to be aware that we have turned in those documents certifying our compliance.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Anything else from any commissioners? Hearing nothing, I'll move to...
I do have one.
Okay, please.
Actually, I'm going to call on Commissioner Fresquez to give a report on our participation in the County Assessor's Summer Workshop earlier this summer.
Thank you. Commissioner Fresquez.
Sure. It was obviously a new experience for me, first year that I have been. It was interesting to get the perspectives from each of the different assessors from the different counties, to get to interact with them, have them give them the opportunity to ask questions, bring any issues before us that they wanted to talk about. So it was an enjoyable trip. It was also very good just getting to know a little bit more about the assessors and the issues that they're facing.
Did you have any specific issues that you learned when you were meeting with the assessors?
Yes, there were a number of them. Whether we want me to discuss all of those at the moment, I'm not sure. One of the issues that they're all dealing with, of course, is the state auditor and the new database and their concerns related to the database. That was one of their biggest concerns, I think, at this point in time.
Okay, thank you. I really appreciate you identifying what you learned when you were at that workshop. Commissioner Cragen, do you have anything else to add to that particular discussion?
I'll just mention that I had the pleasure of doing a case review, and it was actually for one of the appeals that I heard in San Pete County earlier this year. And like the week before the assessor's workshop, the taxpayers filed a petition to withdraw their appeal. So I hadn't even written the order yet. And instead of writing an order, I created a PowerPoint presentation to review that case because it was really interesting. It actually dealt with the residential exemption and determining domicile. So I was able to have a really good discussion with the assessors about here are the factors you can look at. This is what you can ask for on an application, but when you're in an appeal, these are the kinds of things that you can request during the discovery process and then use with your appeal. So I always enjoy doing those things.
Well, that was really good. It's unfortunate in some ways we didn't get to write the decision.
Yes. Because
we could redact it and serve as guidance, but
yes.
That equally applicable with what you've done.
So the county reps actually asked for a copy of my PowerPoint, and they'll use it as a teaching tool for assessors. And I presume that the assessors could use it with a taxpayer who had questions.
Oh, very good. Thank you very much, Commissioner Cragen.
Commissioner Valentine, we did have one more person join the meeting. I don't know if we want, for the record, to have them introduce.
Yes, please. Who has joined the meeting?
Chris Stitt.
Hi, Chris Stitt, Office of Legislative Research and General Counsel.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Chris, for joining us. Okay, anything else from the commissioners? Hearing none, let's go to the executive director and we'll recognize the deputy executive director for her report.
Okay, thank you. Yes, our executive director is unavailable right now, so I just wanted to present two things to discuss. I wanted to let the public know that our strategic plan, about a year ago, we were tasked by the governor to put our strategic plan on our website. And so we've been working on that. If you can see on the website that we have up, it's on the bottom left there with the clover. You can look into that and review it guides our actions, and you can see there's transparency in what we do. It opens up collaboration with people that want to look at our processes and understand how we approach our business goals. So that's on there, and it's not too long, so it's kind of interesting. It shows our performance measures and things like that. And it is a living document, so as we think things need to be updated and changed, we will do that and republish it, of course. Thanks, Shante. The next thing I wanted to do was let me ask if there are any questions about that before I go on.
No, but I do appreciate very much you going through that with us. You met with two commissioners at a time to go through that. I personally really appreciated that help.
Certainly. And the next thing, I just wanted to provide an update of the construction that's going on the fourth floor of our main tax commission building, because I know it has upset a little bit of the scheduling we've had in some hearings. We have crews that are installing tie-off, I believe it's tie-off anchor points for our window cleaners, because our building wasn't up to code on that. And so they've installed those, but they have found that they haven't passed a pull test to make sure they are safe. And so they're making those adjustments now. They hope to be done with that on the 11th of August, with the inspector coming out on the 21st to ensure they pass those new inspections. So we're hoping that we can be back in the fourth floor and being able to use it after the 11th, but I will let you all know as I hear any updates.
Thank you very much. Could you also give us an update on the carpet cleaning that's occurring in the building?
Yes, they have they've completed the third floor, I believe, and they've started the second. They do need to take about a week of a break from the second floor, and they will be back, I believe, on the 14th on the second floor. I just heard last night. And then they will continue with the rest of the second floor, first floor, and go up to the fourth floor, assuming that all the construction has been completed. They are doing that cleaning on weekends and evenings. And the fans that they use to dry them should be shut off by 8 o'clock every morning so they don't disrupt work. And they have also been asked to make sure that's the case.
What carpet areas are on the first floor? Is it all back in the processing area?
I would imagine, but you know what? I'm not quite sure of that, actually. Are there some of the hearing rooms?
The hearing rooms and training rooms are carpeted.
That's okay. True. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
And that's it for my report, unless you have any other questions.
Any other questions of our deputy executive director?
The fourth floor construction, that's just the anchor points. It's not, has nothing to do with the recent fire retardant upgrades and so on.
The fire retardant was for the anchor points.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I understand.
happened is they had to move a lot of that fire retardant side so they could actually do that construction, which then left it vulnerable. So they had to reapply fire retardant.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I actually have talked to the worker who's actually doing majority of the work every time I go in and kind of get an update from him as to what specifics are going on. So are there any other questions for our Deputy Executive Director? Hearing none, any other business to be brought before the commission meeting? Hearing none, I recognize Commissioner Rockwell for a motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you. Motion to adjourn is in order, non-debatable. Those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Well, it passes unanimously. We are adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody. And thank you, Chris, for joining us as well.